The married course isn't a real thing. Of course, there is a marriage course, which I recommend people do, and we have done. But those differences are all real differences that we have. And we have to be very careful how we do some of the things in our family. So things like holidays, we have to be very careful about that, where we go. And we have to make sure we go somewhere. Because as an introvert, when we get to holidays, I like to shut my door and lock everybody else out. As an extrovert, Anita will invite everybody home after church for lunch on our holidays. So we have to work out how to do that well. Probably our biggest difference, I think, though, is how high we turn the heater in the car. I think that's got to be the biggest difference and the one that causes the most arguments. So on a day like today, we're in separate cars today, so that's probably good. Because Anita will have the heater up to about 40 and I'll wind the window down and be, not just to get a breath of fresh air, but just to breathe, to be able to breathe. Whereas we just come out of summer and I'll turn the cooler down to about 6 so I get an Arctic blast of snow through my air conditioner as we're driving around. So we have to work on that. Of course, it's not just in marriages that people are different, but in families, people are different. In your friendship groups at school or in your workplaces, people are different. And even in our church, people are really different to each other. In fact, I'd love it if you guys can have a little bit of a look around now. Just have a little look around at each other. Have a really good stare if you like. It's all right today. You're allowed to do it today. What I want you to notice, though, is to notice the differences between us. Some of them you can see just by looking at each other. So there are going to be differences for, there are people who are older in our congregation. There are people who are younger. There are children here who are normally way out the back in stacks. So they're not even normally here. So you'll notice that. There are women, men, girls, boys. Sometimes there's similarities there. Sometimes there's differences. People from different cultural backgrounds. And if you got talking to each other, and I dare you to do it, maybe after the service, you'll find there's lots of other differences too, things that you can't see. So things like what you're interested in, the things you are good at, the places you like to holiday, different skills and abilities and so forth, different things. So have a bit of a chat about that later. If we were to break down our congregation into little interest groups, we could split it up into about 320 different groups and you would be in a group by yourself, just a whole lot of groups of one. We are really, really different. Now, that's not a new thing. When we look at our reading, the people in Ephesus and the churches this letter might have gone to obviously had to work at things as well. They were obviously different too. And it says in verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. They had to make an effort. So there would have been people who were Jewish, who would have grown up with the Old Testament scriptures and something that they lived and acknowledged and had in their whole lives, and people who were Gentiles who would have not grown up with those things. And they would have had to work out how to do church together. Luckily, in the verse before this, Paul gives some pretty practical examples of things to do. So it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. These are things you could say to a married couple or to any other different relationship people have. We are very, very different. Luckily, Paul also gives us things that unite us. He gives us 7 ones. So here we go. Ooh, it didn't work, that one. There we go, the different ones. Let's just go through them really briefly. One body. One spirit. One hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, the Father, who is in all and through all. And when I had a look at this, I thought, these are all the things that bring us together, that have united us. And I tried to think of what it was that brought all these things together. How we could think about this. And I realised they were kind of blocked in the reading when you look at it. It's a couple, then a couple more, then another one. And I couldn't quite work out the order of it. And then I looked and thought, well, the three of those things are actually God himself. So all the three different persons of the Trinity are all there. So there's God the Father, but mentioned at the end. There's God the Son, Jesus, the Lord, who's mentioned partway through. And then there's God, the Holy Spirit, mentioned at the start. And I thought, that's kind of in a different order to what we normally do it. And then I read a book by John Stott, and he said, you can actually read this backwards. It actually helps to think it through backwards. So he said, firstly, there's God the Father, who built a new family and community. There's God the Son, Jesus Christ, in whose death and resurrection we come to faith, and who, in whose name we are baptized, and in whose return we hope. And we have a certain hope that he will do. And there's God the Holy Spirit who dwells inside us and makes us part of his church, brings us into his body, the church. Now that's so cool that these big things that unite us aren't things that we do ourselves or that we bring to the table. They're things God has done for us. God has wrapped us around himself through baptism, through our joint faith and our shared hope in Jesus' return into his body. These are the things that unite us. So have a look around again. Do that little activity again. Have another good stare. But this time, instead of looking to see the things that make you different, look and see the things that bring you together. Each of you has been brought in by God himself into this community. We are actual, genuine brothers and sisters with big things in common that bring us together. Yes, we still have to work at little things, but the big things are here and we have them shared, particularly for the boys and girls, for the children who are normally out there. And it's very easy to feel like you're separate from the rest of us when you're out there and you go to good things out there. But you belong here with us too. You are full, real people who are part of our church. So when you look around, see that what unites us is what God has done for us. Well, then Paul starts talking about gifts, and he starts talking about it in verse 8. He says, this is why it says, and he's quoting from Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Now, originally that wasn't about Jesus, but Paul uses it for Jesus here. And he says, he's the one who gives us gifts. And then he has this bit in brackets that I almost didn't do because I thought, it sort of seems to be a slightly different argument, but then I thought it's kind of like our Christmas, Easter, Ascension bit where it talks about who Jesus is, that he is the one who can give gifts because he is the one who ascended from heaven, that's right, descended from heaven at Christmas time, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again and he's gone back to be as the first resurrected person to be with God the Father in heaven. And it tells us a little bit of his credentials. And then it talks about gifts. Now, I've got some gifts up here. Now, we all know a little bit about gifts and how they work, and I wanted to see if there's any volunteers who want to come up and unwrap a couple of gifts for us. So you don't have to be kids, you're allowed to be older people because we all like gifts. There's all the little kids up here are doing that. They want to do it. How about we ask, yeah, Alicia, do you want to come up? Yep. Oh, she's pumped. She's gone on a fist pump. She wants to get a gift. You can actually play with this gift up here and use it if you want, or you can sit back down. Sarah, do you want to come up? Do you want to come up, Jane? Yep. Cool. Okay. So the first gift. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to open the gift. Who wants to get the first one? I think this is the first one. Yeah. Who wants the first gift? Come up the front. Hang on. I'll get my microphone too. Now, what I want you to do is to open the gift. And I want you to tell me how you can use this gift, what you would use this gift for. So here you go. Happy birthday something. I wrapped all the gifts differently. So she's got the ribbon and the bow, which I blue tacked on. Here we go. Excellent. There's a gift. Hang on, let me get my thing and show people what's in there. Here we go. Now, can you tell us what's in this gift, this box?
Duplo.
Duplo, yes. What exactly is it, though? What can you tell? They're building blocks, and they are all one colour. What colour have you got?
Blue.
What could you make with these building blocks? An ocean. In fact, you can make it. This is an ocean up here. Good job. You're doing a great job already. You could make other things. Anything else you can think of?
A house.
A blue house. You could make a blue house. Do you want to build something now, or would you rather sit down?
Really?
You can do whichever one you want. I'm going to give another gift. Okay, the second gift. This is our really big gift. You want to have this one? It's a box. It's actually a Christmas gift. So Merry Christmas, this one, the wrapping paper. Excellent. What have you got in your gift?
They're red blocks.
Red blocks. What could you make with red blocks?
A red house.
A red house, yes. Anything else you can think of?
Something else red.
I got a car, yeah. You could do a car. You couldn't do the black windscreen on the white lights or anything like that, but you can do a few things. A fire truck, yep. Do you want to make something there? You can if you want. You don't have to. All right. Last gift. Here we go. One last gift. This one's paper, so that we get a bit more noise and a bit more activity here. You can rip the paper if you like. I'm Excellent. What have you got?
Yellow blocks.
Yellow blocks. You could make all sorts of stuff with that. What could you make with a yellow block?
Yellow house.
Yes, or? A banana, yeah. Very children and families ministry. And you also have one yellow fireman, so you can make a yellow fire truck. So do you want to make something with that? You don't have to. You can stay up here and make if you want. Of course, all these gifts really work better when they're all together, though, don't they? And I've got all of the other ones here. So all the other different colours in this box here. So I've got purples and greens and orange and black. So the best thing you could really do would be to combine them all together. And you can make something way better. So something like this. Is one I whipped up earlier. It's a big bridge. You might make a giant dinosaur. You might make really colourful people and a big thing, a big sort of arch. You also just might make lunch. There we go. So there's lots of things. So these blocks are best when they are combined together and they work together that way. Well, Paul starts talking about gifts as well, and he starts saying that our gifts are also designed in a similar way. He talks about some of the things. Here's a couple of the gifts that he names, and there's only five mentioned there. There's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But there's actually really about 20-something gifts that are mentioned throughout the Bible. And he says that, goes on to say that, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity. And it goes on to talk about how we also become mature through these gifts as well. It gives us the purpose of why we get these gifts. It actually says to equip God's people for work. So my gift is supposed to work with other people's gifts as well. That's how they come together. Like in the skits we had before, the swimming skit, all the different strokes, the different ways of swimming were all needed within that race to actually even make it happen. And in the dancing we saw before as well, all the different parts of the dance. I like what they've done up here. All the different parts, yes, they can be used by themselves and they look good by themselves, but there's a real richness and a great building up that happened when they came together. And it was much better and much more enjoyable when they were all together, working together. That's like our gifts. So in a sense, my gifts belong to all of you. So I got to use my gifts in order to build up or to equip the people for works of service. Your gifts are also, they belong to me and they belong to the rest of you as well. We're to use them together in order to help equip the people for works of service. Now, who does all the work? It's you. It's all of us. It's God's people. It's not just special people who do some of the work, but we all do it together. Now, luckily, at St. Alfred's, we have an example of how all this does come together. And there's two words, I'm not going to say them, because that's Nicole's job. Let's see if they come up. Oh, they're not going to come up. There we go. Oh, not that one. That one. Okay, Nicole.
All right. Russ asked me to come and do a little testimony about my experience with going bananas. So, of course, we were new arrivals, new to the country, new to the town, new to the church as well. And I had no expectations of going bananas and what it was going to entail. So when I got here, I was absolutely floored by what an incredibly well-oiled machine it was. Everybody seemed to just fit in. Everyone had their roles. They had their functions. Everybody worked together. And it was incredible. I was really, really taken aback at how beautifully the whole community came together. I worked quite closely with the kitchen team, and that little group of ladies, well, not all ladies, there were a few gentlemen in there as well. Gentlemen, you're more than welcome in the kitchen. was just amazing. The camaraderie, they had over 300 people to feed and water every day, and they'd not only get that done calmly and happily, but there was a smile, there was a laugh, there was joking, there was merriment in the kitchen. They would still find time to take care of people's needs, check in with people, and do pastoral care as well. I think about the Reggio team. An amazing thing that we noticed about them going above and beyond the call of duty, every single morning, the first thing they would do is get together and pray for all of us. And it was so wonderful when we're busy bustling about and setting up and everything, just to have this calm knowledge that there was this group of people praying for us and that we were covered by prayer. Phenomenal to see. another group of unsung heroes that I wasn't even aware existed, and we certainly never recruited them, there was sort of these orbiting adults who were just there. And any needs, kids who were lost, lonely, fell down, just a bit sad, needed a pep talk, they're there. And they were there for those kids. They helped them, got them back on track. An amazing group, just phenomenal folks. The teen leaders themselves, I mean, these kids, most of them are fresh graduates through the program. They've come through primary school. They go on and become leaders. It's a real ragtag bunch that come into training. And to see how these kids just come out of themselves, the spirit moves in them. They get in there. Their talents, their abilities really shine. And they impressed us every single time. Really phenomenal. The other thing that I really liked about this program is it's one of the very few things that we do in the church that is truly cross-congregational. People from the 10 service, 6 service, 4 p.m. service, they're all there, all involved, working together, all supporting each other, looking out for one another, and that sense of team that is there throughout this entire program is just such a phenomenal blessing. And I would just like to, well, Ross and I would both like to just take an extra opportunity to say thank you to everybody who's been involved in this in the past. And thank you for those who have already come forward with such excitement for this year. You guys, you make this program possible. We just put the little pieces together. You are the jigsaw puzzle. Thank you so much.
I think it's funny for people like Nicole and I who work with kids, and we love working with kids. It's great fun. I think the thing that really surprised me the most was just how much I loved seeing the teamwork. So I love being with the kids, but seeing the teamwork was great. So now, we've been sitting down for a little while. Anyone who would like to do a little bit of stretching can do it now. In fact, I'd like a couple of people to come up the front and do a little bit of toe touching with me. Is that okay? So a couple of volunteers. Again, doesn't have to be kids, can be older people. You don't even have to touch your toes in the traditional manner. I don't care, you can cheat. It doesn't matter. So anyone would like to come up, put your hand up. David, yeah, come on up, that'd be great. And Tim, would you like to come up? That'd be fantastic. Do we have one more? Oh yeah, do you want to come up? Yeah. It's Theo coming up. Come up. Yeah, now I don't mind how you do this. You can do this in the traditional way. Here's a guy struggling to touch his toes. I know how you're going to go, David. You're going to go all right? So, yeah, going to be able to do it. Okay, I don't care how you do it. Let's just see how your brains tell you to touch your toes. Go, go, go. Yeah, look at that. We've got some interesting ones here. We've got two traditional ones here. Bending over the traditional way to touch their toes and getting fit. David's kind of cheating a little bit. It's all right, though. He's told he's allowed to. Oh, now he's back to the traditional. There's other ways. You could do it this way. You could do it this way. Oh, hey! You could put your foot up behind. Yep, like Tim is now. Hop. You can sit down and do it. You could actually all do it in your seats right now. There's lots of different ways your brains can do this and can control the moving of your hand down to the moving of your foot. And it actually, it's the body is doing all different things there. Oh. And David's doing it blindfolded. Just shows he knows where his feet are. That's really cool. So, excellent, guys. You can have a seat. Keep exercising, though. Stay fit. It's really good. Okay, there is a point, but I'll come back to it. Hey, I wanted to remind us, just before we go, we're going to head out pretty soon, of the things that unite us, those big ones that we are united by what God has done and who He is for us. And don't leave without realizing that the people you are with are part of your community, part of your family, your brothers and sisters. That God has given us gifts to use to build up the body, the church, and they're all different from each other and they're all important. Bible reading ends with this really cool little image about us being part of Christ's body, the church, and Him being the head. And I'll read it, the last two verses for us. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. I love that picture too. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I love this picture with a brain. You can see the brain connecting into the muscles and down into the finger to do whatever it is that he's trying to do. And the activities we saw before where the brain is helping people touch their toes in many different ways. We're to stay connected to the head as we leave. You don't just sort of do our unity here. We don't just remember that we have gifts here. But as we leave, we're to stay connected to Jesus through the week, through our whole lives. If your brain's not connected, some of these things that we tried to do, touching your toes, we just couldn't do, of course. And all the brain controls all that. Jesus is the head of our church, and we need to stay connected to him for us to be a functional body that works in his name and builds people up. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have some more songs, and continue the rest of our service. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are and what you've done, that you unite us, you bring us together through your Son, through your Spirit, into your body, the church. We thank you for the ways you've gifted us and that we're all different. Help us to continue to use our gifts to build your body, to draw other people closer to you. And I just pray, God, as we leave today, later on, that we'll be going out, we'll stay connected to you during the week as the head of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.